The Lord is good. Yeah, let's quickly kick into our issue for today. It's our School of Prayer, the second edition of it. We started it last week. Two things we are going to do today. One, we are going to it's the same study and pray we are going to do, but we'll divide it into two sessions. The first one, we are going to kind of pray for ourselves, and then the second one, we'll pray for our society, pray for our nation, pray for our state, pray for our country. All right? That's what we are here to do. Now, remember what I said last time, when we are praying together, I do not plan to give a prayer point and people will scatter. Because as they scatter physically, so they often scatter in their minds. All right? So, please, we are all going to just rise in our feet, not now, and then somebody will lead the prayer. Let me just share something briefly, and then we'll pray. Quickly, let's open our Bibles to the book of Psalm 23. Well, it's a well-known portion of the scriptures, the whole chapter. I said, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou dost prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou hast anointed my head with oil. My cup overflows." He said, "Therefore, surely, goodness and loving kindness and mercies will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Quickly go to the book of Psalms 91. Now, I'll just read a few verses here. We're going to come back to this one in a minute, but let's just get a few points. It says, "He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High," this is New American Standard, "will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord," or like other translation says, "I will say of the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust." Then I went ahead to say more things about the Lord. "For it is he who delivers you from the snare of the trapper and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his pinions, and under his wings you may seek refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and bulwark." Now, I read Psalm 23 to bring out something for us. Now, the book of Psalms, it's like a prayer book. There's something I want us to understand. I said before that we often carry things to extremes. That's just human, all right? So when one movement wants to start in Christianity, it tends to throw away everything about the last one, including all the good things. Do you understand? They throw away the baby with the bath water. So every good thing, all right, is thrown away with the things that are not good. And one of the things I realized from Pentecostal actions, which what I studied over the years, which I practice also, is that we pray a bit carelessly. Yeah. All right? You see, let me tell you something about God. This is his desire. He wants to feel all in all. Actually, he doesn't like surprises. He doesn't like surprises. You know, before I used to ask myself, they say Jesus went and prayed all night. I say, wait. What did he used to say all night? Do you understand? Now, we're not going to discuss those things in details. But these days, I have more understanding. I have better ideas of the things that he used to say than I had before. Now, once his disciples came to him and said, "Teach us to pray." And he said to them, "When you are praying, say." We can use as a pattern, but actually what he told them, that when you want to pray, use these words. Do you follow? Now, if you look at the way, if you look at the history of prayer and all of that, both in Christianity and other religions, you see people tend to do, they tend to have prayers that they will say at certain times. Now, I'm bringing out something here. Now, it appeared to us Pentecost as if it was too formal and not lacking in spirit. But actually, it's because over time, the structure had lost the spirit. Therefore, when you don't have the spirit and you see a structure on ground, you don't know where it started from. So you think that all there is to that structure is the formality that you are seeing. But if you had combined it with the spirit of the thing, you would have discovered the beauty of it. Do you understand the point I'm making? And I want us to rediscover some of those things. Now, I'm bringing out an issue here. If you read through the Psalms, all right, it was like a prayer booklet. And there's virtually nothing you will face in life that has not been addressed in the Word of God, both as prayer and as thanksgiving. And the best way, all right, to handle things in life, all right, is to find out what God has said. When I say God doesn't like surprises, there are words that He wants to hear. There are words that are appropriate to use. You see, Solomon talked about acceptable words. That is, there are things that are right to say. Now, the beautiful thing about that for us is that while we are discovering the right words to say, we discover the will of God. And prayer is actually just giving voice to what God wants to what God wants to do on the earth. Thereby, we agree with Him. We use those words, and then we are like the people releasing His power onto the earth. Remember what we discussed last time, for those of us who are around. We said that is the greatest weapon that the church has on the earth. Do you understand that? That is, you don't have to carry your own weapons. It's just that you have the ability to call upon God at any time, and then He manifests His power in your life. Do you understand that point? I don't want to talk for long. Now, so two things I want to bring out here is this. God has, now there are two ways we operate on the earth, and that's the basis for the foundation for the prayer we're going to pray today. One, the Bible says not all men do not have faith. Let me put it like that. It's not everybody that has faith. What that means is that the president of your nation may not have faith. Do you understand what I'm explaining? Yes. But then, he still needs the power of God in his life. Therefore, you that have faith will call upon the power of God into his life because he's your president. He may not have the understanding to go and pray and say, God, reveal to me what to do about Nepa. Do you understand what I'm saying? But you that have the understanding, knowing that God has a wisdom, you can pray until, without knowing what he's doing, he does the will of God concerning Nepa. That's one side. Well, we'll do that. But the first side is, what about you that have faith? What is faith there for? Faith means that God has written things concerning my life. I have discovered them and I have believed them. Therefore, Jesus said, don't pray like the Gentiles pray. Praying about food and raiment and stuff like that. He said that's what, because they don't understand the will of God. They don't understand the power of God. They don't understand the covenant of God. Therefore, they spend all their energy worrying about how to get food. So it becomes their major prayer point. Now, please, I hope you are following what I'm explaining. So the way you pray for yourself, therefore, differs from the way you will pray for, like the president of the nation, pray for a nation of 140 million people, of which most of them don't have faith. Do you understand what I'm going to explain? You will see that as days go on, we'll be learning more about this. You'll find out that sometimes, like warfare, what I mean is that it's as if you want to force, that, you know, go around. We discuss that every day. People's actions beget results. When I say beget results, what I mean is this: if you're selfish, you invoke a spirit of corruption into the earth. You spoil things. You don't have to try. Things spoil because of the spirit of selfishness. Do you follow what I mean? Now, everything, I've said before, there are three things control the events on the earth. The behaviors of the people on the earth. The first is the plan of God, the purpose of God, the behaviors of people on the earth, and then what? The prayers. Now, the character of behaviors, the morals of the people on the earth, what that does is to cause, like we say in physics, an action that automatically brings forth an equal and opposite reaction. So, Adam sins. God tells, even if he doesn't say it, the truth is that for this thing that you have done, cursed is the earth. Sin always begets death. Now, you are a man now that God puts on the earth, and you are not a sinner, and you have 50 other people around you invoking the power of death by their actions onto the earth. Do you understand my point? And it's continual. It's continual. That's why you constantly make prayers for the nations of the earth, all right, your own nation now, for where you have influence. Use the power of the covenant, of the relationship that you have with God to overturn the effect of the other people's actions. Listen, you go to a country like America, most people there are criminals. I hope you get what I'm saying. Yes. No, I'm telling you the truth. That's how the earth is. Most people everywhere are criminals. When I say criminals, they may not take guns and shoot, But they will break the law given the opportunity. The law keeps them in check. Do you understand my point? They would like to evade tax. They are not, you know, they may have the spirit inside them that are selfish. But then, this is my own understanding of the whole thing. They were built upon the foundation of those who were not selfish, who invoked a strong power onto the place that keeps the rest of them in check and are maintained by the prayers of those who are there. Do you follow my point? Who are not selfish. Therefore, you find out that they have a greater power working on their side than the other people that are out there. What I'm trying to say is that they will tell you that, look, a friend of mine was telling me the other day that he saw one reverend gentleman, one of our senior colleagues, actually my dean, and he was wearing, he's a reverend gentleman, so wear a collar. So they were just chatting, and he told me, he said, oh God, no be all of these things. So say, Nigerians go to church a lot, and look at all the crime and the corruption in the land. And the man said, close the churches first, and see how worse it you get. And that statement is very true. Because it's a war. You know, you understand? We are pushing. People are pushing. We are pushing back. And I believe that if we understand these things and we pray effectively, you will discover that eventually we will triumph. In fact, we have triumphed already. We are overcomers in the name of Jesus Christ. But we have to continue our own work so that God will indeed do what he really wants to do on the earth. Don't wait for when everybody, say, if everybody will get converted, everything will just good. It won't happen. I like what Gordon said. That even God looked at it and said, I wish. You know what I'm saying? That he knows. I say he wished that all men would be saved. But he knows it no go happen. So don't even think it's going to happen. All right? God knows that it's a matter of wishing. You follow what I'm saying? But then, even though that doesn't happen, those of us who have faith, we have the ability to call the power of God. I just explained that one to bring out a word. Continually, so that the force of life that we are generating will overcome this force of evil that those that do not have faith are generating. But concerning our own lives, because we have faith, things have been written. Do you understand my point? We discover that which is written, then we declare them. In fact, one of the things I believe, having studied the scriptures, is that Jesus prayed, most of those prayers in the book of Psalms were prophetic prayers. They were prayers that Jesus made for you and for me. And we know that God has answered him. So once we discover that the Lord made a request, we know that we already have the answer. So we declare, because like he said, because he has said, therefore we can boldly say. You find that in that Hebrews chapter 13. Now, so those are that's the foundation of it. First, we are going to pray for ourselves. I said, as time goes on, we'll take more time to do more of this thing, but we are getting into the flow. We're going to pray for ourselves, but what we're going to do today is to declare the things that have been written concerning our lives. Do you understand my point? Not like we are trying to beg and say, God, look at me here, not forget me. God, you cannot forget me. You threw away the ability to forget me long ago. Are you getting my point? I know that look, you love me like the apple of your eyes. You can't forget that. My name is written on your palms. You can't forget that. All right? I am before you continually. You can't forget that. I like one thing that Ken Hagin said. The Lord told him. One day he had a vision. And the Lord told him that he said it was a vision. The Lord appeared to him. And there were two chaps standing behind him. He said, what's that guy looking for? No, one guy. So he said, what's that guy looking for? He said, oh, that fellow, he's your angel. He said, what? My angel? Then, so, and his own was that, look, prove it from scriptures that men, they get angels. He said, Jesus now reminded him that he said once that, talking about little children, that their angels stand before God all the time. He said, because you grow up doesn't mean you lose your angel. That we all have angels that stand before the presence of God. All right? Therefore, what am I saying? So God can't forget me. My angel is standing continually in his presence. I take that for granted. I don't have to stay up all night and say, God, do not forget me. I'll remind him, you don't have the ability to forget me. Do you follow my point? Every detail of my life is in his hands. He's apportioning my inheritance for me. Where I will live tomorrow has been decided. I pray that we'll take our eyes off materialism. Do you understand my point? Look, you don't lack anything. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. You have everything you need for today's responsibilities. I hope you are following what I'm not explaining. So first thing we're going to do for the first maybe 15, 20, 30 minutes, depending on how it goes, is that we're going to pray for ourselves. And there's a way the prayer is going to grow. It's going to go. I'm going to lead the prayer. Okay? I don't want it to scatter. But with this one, with a lot of understanding, you can scatter. All right, but let's do it. We are together. When we are together, they should be together. Amen? All right, so that's what we are going to do first. Afterwards, we'll teach a bit, about 15 minutes, then pray for our country. And then, I'll probably will lead other people, if we have the, depending on how it goes, if I perceive some people are ready, can call one or two people to just lead certain prayer points, and then we'll finish on time. But we'll get into the flow of this as time goes on. So we can take one thing each day that will come. But let's start this one for today. All right, the Lord is good. If you believe that, rise to your feet and let us pray. Now, this is the prayer. Now, this is what's going to happen. Especially because you are praying for yourself, I don't want you to say amen to anything I say. I want you to repeat it, okay? Along the line, feel free under your breath to interrupt what I'm saying and say it as it concerns you. Do you understand what I'm saying? Uh-huh. There are different issues that concern people. And if something comes up in your heart to the forefront, then it's good to you address such things and speak specifically about them. I might say something like, the Lord supplies all my need, and you don't want to hear that. Honestly, the Lord supplies my house rent. You know what I'm saying? All my need is too nebulous. It's just everywhere. Uh-huh. You want to narrow it down. Feel free to do that. Is that all right? All right. Well, you can drop your hands later, but as we start, let's just put up our hands. For a minute, just under your breath, just give the Lord thanks. Say, Father, I thank you in the name of Jesus Christ for today. I thank you because your spirit is present. I thank you because your word is working in my life. And I wanted to repeat after me. Say, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I am not afraid of economic downturn. Speak loud, please, and be quick. God blesses me. My needs are supplied. I follow after righteousness, and all things are added to me. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Say, the Lord is with me. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. For this reason, I have a sound mind. For this reason, I am sound in my mind. My mental faculties are in order. My mental faculties are in order. I am not confused. Because the Lord restores my soul. I am not perturbed. I am not disturbed. The situations of life cannot confuse me. Because the Lord restores my soul. Say, He guides me in the path of righteousness for His name's sake. He guides me in the path of righteousness for His name's sake. I will not fall into the temptation of the devil because the Spirit of Christ is in me. Say it again. He guides me in the path of righteousness for His name's sake. I am a righteous child of God. Sin is not my portion. I don't walk in the counsel of the ungodly. I don't walk in the path of the wicked. I walk in the path of righteousness. God is guiding me into righteousness. I have the ability to resist temptation in the name of Jesus Christ. Because the Spirit of Christ is in me. I overcome temptation. God leads me for His name's sake. Say, my steps are ordered by the Lord. I am led by His Spirit. I know and obey the will of God. Let's take that again. Say, my steps are ordered by the Lord. I am led by His Spirit. I know and I obey the will of God. Say, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, even though I hear bad news all around, I fear no evil, for the Lord is with me. I fear no evil, for the Lord is with me. He preserves my life. His angels, they surround me and they deliver me. As the mountains surround Jerusalem, so does the Lord surround me. His protection is over me. He said, His rod and His staff, they comfort me. He prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies. He has anointed my head with oil. I have divine enablement to fulfill my purpose in life. I am not weak. I am not a failure. I have God's oil upon my head. The anointing of God flows through my body. Everything I put my hands to do prospers. Everything that I place my hand upon prospers. My office prospers for my sake. I am making my boss rich. My presence is making him rich. My co-workers are blessed because I am anointed. He said, he has anointed my head with oil. My life is not an accident. I was born on purpose to fulfill the will of God for my life. My cup overflows. I have all that I need to do everything that God wants me to do. All my needs are supplied. I have enough to meet today's needs. Declare again, all my needs are supplied. I have enough to meet today's needs. Declare, sufficient unto today are the responsibilities thereof. God has given me enough to meet all my responsibilities for today. I am not a beggar. I am not a beggar. I don't walk in lack. I am a giver. God makes all grace abound towards me. I have all sufficiency in all things, and I abound to every good work. Say, surely, goodness and mercies will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Say, the Lord has turned to me and is gracious to me. Even though I was lonely and afflicted, even though the troubles of my heart were enlarged, he brought me out of my distress. Say, he has brought me out of my distress. He has looked upon my afflictions and my troubles. And he has forgiven all my sins. Therefore, Satan has no hold upon me. Therefore, the troubles of life cannot hold me down. Therefore, I'm an overcomer. Let's say it again. Say, he has looked upon my afflictions and my troubles, and he forgave all my sins. My sins are forgiven because I have believed in his Son Jesus Christ. Because I have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, even though my enemies are many and the troubles of life increased, and there are many who hate me with violent hatred. Let me say that again. Even though my enemies are many, and the troubles of life, they are increased, and there are many that hate me with violent hatred, yet the Lord does guard my soul and delivers me. I will never fall into their hands. I will never be overcome. I will not die young. I will live and fulfill the purpose of God for my life. He said, the Lord guards my soul and he delivers me. I will not be ashamed, for I take refuge in God. In integrity and uprightness I shall be preserved. In integrity and uprightness I shall be preserved. For I wait for the Lord, and he will never disappoint me. I trust in him, and he will never fail me. The Lord redeems his people out of all their troubles. Say, I wait for the Lord, and he will never disappoint me. He will never disappoint me. My trust is in my God. My faith is in my Jesus Christ. And I know he will never fail me. Because the Lord redeems his people, and he delivers them out of all their troubles. Declare, the Lord will vindicate me, for I have walked in my integrity, for I have walked in faith before him, for I continually trust him without wavering. I want us to notice something here. Now, next thing I want to say, I want us to take it slowly, and I'll give us some time to think about it, because sometimes we talk like this, let us not convict ourselves with our speech, all right? So David says something like this. This is from the words of David. Having made this statement, he said, examine me, O Lord, and try me. Test my mind and my heart. Now, we'll take that statement again, and I want us to just pause everybody for a minute or two and confess. You see, that's what confession of sin is. People think that confession of sins, I stole, I did not steal. I looked at a woman lustfully. Those are, I'm not saying they are not sin, but those are the things that are morally so terrible that we easily recognize. But not trusting in God. How many times have you put your faith in America and have not put it in God? Are you getting my point? How many times have you put your faith in Lagos, Port Harcourt, Abuja, or even Enugu? When they transferred you out of town, you wanted to go mental. Because you thought God was in that particular city. Are you getting my point? So we'll declare these words again, but when I get there, I will just pause. And everybody, you'll just bow down heads and examine yourself as the Lord is revealing to you. There and then, you'll start hearing words, you know what I mean? You'll just remember something, you will know. Look, all this time, I don't know the will of God. Nah, bobo. But this is the faithfulness of God as you declare, that is, as you acknowledge. God, you see, God is not like, oh God, please, I'm sorry. No. Just say it is wrong. That's all. Acknowledge that it's wrong. That's all. And he forgives you of that iniquity and then cleanses you of all unrighteousness. That is the consequences of that life thought pattern. Is that okay? Now, we'll go over it again. When I get there, we'll just pause and I give us like 1 minute or two to do what I said. Now, let's go over it again. Say, the Lord will vindicate me because I have walked in my integrity. For I have walked in faith before him. And have trusted in the Lord without wavering. Now just bow down your heads and pray. Now pray this prayer as you are doing that. Say quietly, don't shout it loud. Now say, examine me, O Lord, and try me. Test my mind and my heart. It's a very simple prayer. Just give us like 1 minute to do that. Say, examine me, O Lord, and try me. Say, test my mind and my heart, especially where I have not trusted you. Because we have declared that God will show forth our righteousness. God will pour forth his glory upon us because we have walked in our integrity. Because we have walked in faith before him. But then we now ask ourselves that, have I really done that? That's why one man said, I believe, Lord, help my unbelief. That's what they are doing right now. I said, Lord, help my unbelief. Yes, you may have thought you were doing everything that you know to do, but there are places where God will point out to you, say, you haven't trusted me here. Therefore, do not wait for my vindication. But you will confess it, and then the confession is correct again. That is, these words you are declaring will take over those things. The blessing of God will point to that area. Now, let us declare, having done that, say, Lord, thy loving kindness is before my eyes. I want to declare it loud like you believe. He said, Lord, thy loving kindness is before my eyes. I will walk in your truth continually. Say, I consecrate and declare as follows. Now you are declaring this concerning your life. Say, I do not sit with deceitful men. I do not consider their counsel. Nor will I go with pretenders. I hate the assembly of evildoers. And I will not sit with the wicked. I shall wash my hands in innocence. And I will go about thine altar, O Lord. This is what it means. Declare this. He said, I shall lay my life before you continually. And constantly confess my shortcomings to you. Now declare loudly, I shall see your power in my life. That I might proclaim with the voice of thanksgiving. And declare all your wonders. Now I want to shout this loud. The Lord is my light and my salvation. The Lord is my salvation and my deliverer. The Lord is my security. I will not fear anybody. I will not fear anybody. Say, the Lord is the defense of my life. I will not be afraid of anyone. When evildoers come upon me to devour my flesh, when my adversaries and my enemies come against me, they will stumble and they will fall. Said, though a host, that is an army, encamp against me, my heart will not be afraid. Said, though war may rise against me, though war may rise from my working place, or it might rise from my lecturer, or from somebody who claims he does not like me, or from my competitor, from envious colleagues, from thieves, from robbers, from sickness, from any agent of the devil, I will not be afraid, because the Lord is with me. In spite of the arising, I shall be confident. Because the Lord is with me. Declare it, the Lord is my light and my salvation. The Lord is my deliverer and my security. I will not be afraid. He said, now let's pray this prayer. He said, this is my desire, O Lord, and I ask you to grant it. That I will love your word. And you will fill me with the knowledge of you. That I will love your word. And that you will fill me with the knowledge of you. I ask that you will give me spiritual wisdom and understanding so that I might grow in the knowledge of God. I pray that my heart will be flooded with light so that I can understand the wonderful life you have promised to those you called. I want to realize a rich and glorious inheritance as you have promised to your people. This is what I have desired, and this I will seek. Declare, in the day of trouble, he will conceal me in his tabernacle. In the secret place of his tent, he will hide me. He will lift me up upon a rock, so that I will be lifted above the enemies that surround me. See, I will offer in his tent sacrifices with shouts of joy. I will sing, yes, I will sing praises to the Lord. This I declare of the Lord. He alone is my refuge, my place of safety. He is my God, and I trust him continually. He will rescue me from every trap and protect me from the fatal plague. He will protect me from the diseases that fly around and keep me constantly healed. In the name of Jesus Christ, he will heal me. He will shield me with his wings and shelter me with his feathers. His faithful promises are my armor and protection. Say, do a thousand fall at my side, 10,000 at my right hand. These evils will not touch me. I have made the Lord my refuge. I have made the Most High my shelter. No evil will conquer me, and no plague will come near my dwelling. I will trample down lions and poisonous snakes. I will crush every opposition under my feet. Every work of the devil is destroyed under my feet. Because the Lord rescues me. Say, so he satisfies me with a long life. And he shows me his salvation. Just wave your hands and give the Lord thanks for that. That is the thing that the Lord has done for you. And that's a confession you make continually. That is the prayer you pray for yourself. Because the Lord's word is true at all times. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Is there somebody feeling blessed? If you are, shout aloud, amen.
Amen.
All right, let's take our seats for a moment. Just teach for a few minutes, and then we'll pray the second set of prayers that we have. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. If you believe it, say amen.
Amen.
You know what I'll do? I'll write that thing out properly, and I'll print it. All right? Next time you come around, just pick one. You wake up in the morning and read it out. All right? Anybody who wants to read it must remember to satisfy those things in there. Because I have trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because my sins have been forgiven. All right, the Lord is good. Now, I just want to read a few scriptures for us concerning God's commandments on how and why we should pray for our nation. Quickly, let's open our Bibles to the book of 1 Timothy chapter 2. You will notice that all those things that we read out, they were all lifted from the Psalms and modified. You know what I mean? I'll read it out. And based on understanding, I'll rewrite some things to make it clear for us. Because the scriptures, all right? They are able to make you wise unto salvation. They give you what God has said concerning your life, and if you believe and hold on to it, you will discover God's blessing manifested in your life all the time. First Timothy chapter 2. Now, from verse 1. It says, first of all, then, I urge that entreaties and prayers, petitions and thanksgiving be made on behalf of all men, for kings and all who are in authority, in order that we may lead a tranquil and quiet life in all godliness and dignity. This is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now you see that there's a purpose here. He said that we pray for kings, which Paul said elsewhere in the book of Romans that they were appointed by God. We pray for all those who are in authority, including local government chairmen, including our policemen, soldiers, anybody in authority, including the boss in your office, anybody in authority. Why are you doing this? He says, so that as a consequence of your prayers, you may lead a tranquil and quiet life in all godliness and dignity. And he said, this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior. Now, you see, there are some things that, let me just explain them so that in case some of us have been believing those kind of jokes, all right? They are not true and we shouldn't believe it. I said last time that I heard people tell me that some things are the sign of the times. Therefore, you should let them happen. That's what they imply. I like what Kenneth Hagin said, that the Bible even said that children will be rebellious against parents as a sign of the end of the times. Do not leave your children to go haywire. The truth about the sign of the end of time is that parents will be irresponsible. It's not as if the children will all wake up and say, okay, now rebellion time. They have been rebellious since they were born. And I can prove it from the scripture. Say, foolishness was wrapped up, specially packaged, gift wrapped, and put in their hearts. It says, it's bound in the heart of a child, but there's a technique for loosening the bondage and allowing the foolishness to go. All right? And it's a rod. Now, I'm not bringing something here. So it is not because it's the end time they suddenly become more foolish and more rebellious. I believe that most of it will be because of the irresponsibility of the parents. What I'm trying to explain, that you see things that are wrong out there does not mean that it's a sign of the end of time. So you let the thing just happen. What God has told us is simple. If we pray for kings and all those, that is presidents now, governors, that's what you mean by kings, and all those who are in authority, will be able to lead a tranquil and quiet life in all godliness and dignity. Now, Paul wrote this when the church was being persecuted here and there. So it's not as if he did not know the troubles in the land. But what he was saying is that if you persistently pray, that persecution will stop. Those troubles will stop. You know, be careful that you don't take your news from television and the newspaper and make it look like as if the word of God is not true. Are you getting my point? I believe very strongly. A lot of, you know, this is just by the way so that you understand some things. You know, in America, they sit down all the time and they do Christian politics. You know, by Christian politics. Christian, let us gather and worry our, if you know the way Americans work, phone your senator not to confirm that Obama's nominee for Supreme Court seat. You know, we want to harass, we are playing politics like the world because that person is Libra, is Libra, is Libra. And you say, why should they allow homosexuals in the army? Why should they legalize gay marriage? Now, I used to get carried away a bit, but after some time I realized that that's not the problem, really. Really. If you like legalize gay marriage, that's not the problem. You know what the problem is? You know what the problem is? Is inside church. That is, God has never, that one is not a problem. The problem is that when you, the so-called church, ordain homosexual ministers, no matter how much you pray against those legalizing gay marriage, never work. It will never work. It will never work. If you set up Christian communities as businesses and you call them churches, no matter how hard you pray against corruption outside, it will never work. You see what the problem is? So instead of mounting and saying, okay, doing Christian politics on television, forget it first. Let's go home. Flog ourselves. Talk to ourselves. If we come out in purity before God, then you will discover actually that the word of God works. And then the church, they won't have to campaign and look and say, okay, all you people are legislating from the bench and spoiling our society. And they pray against you, you will just die the next day. Believe me, the church is very powerful.